here in the studio reading with us today. Mary Beth, Julie, and Tom, we are reading from Consoling the Heart of Jesus. It's a do-it-yourself retreat by Father Michael Gately. You can get your copy of the retreat materials at 33daystomorningglory.com. That's 33daystomorningglory.com. We welcome your input. You can either comment at the 33 Days to Morning Glory website. You can also drop me an email, mary@cultureoflifemedia.com. Tom is going to begin reading for us today on page 108, the fourth obstacle, the sensitivity of the Lord's heart.
Recall how easy it is to console Jesus. It simply takes our trust. Now recall how easy it is to hurt the Lord. It simply takes our lack of trust. That last part often presents an obstacle to our going to Jesus. The sensitivity of the Lord's heart is like a double-edged sword. On the one side, it makes consoling him so simple and easy. On the other side, it makes hurting him just as simple and easy. Perhaps this sensitivity of the Lord's heart has got us thinking, well, if it's so easy to hurt the Lord, especially for those who are closest to him, maybe I should keep my distance so as to avoid hurting him. After all, I'm weak, and I may begin to distrust. I don't want to hurt him like that, like Peter did during the trial. Our friend Joe was thinking something similar during one of his retreats. Hearing more of his story may help us overcome this obstacle. Remember how at the end of his 30-day retreat, Joe heard the Lord say to him, "All I want for you is to be my friend." Well, Joe took those words to heart. After the retreat, he put all his energy into just trying to be the Lord's friend by not being afraid to go to him. Still, the thought of how much he must have hurt the Lord during the retreat because of his lack of trust stayed on his mind. Therefore, when it came time for an 8-day retreat later in the year, and after he had had a lot of practice trusting Jesus, Joe decided to make it up to the Lord by giving him his complete trust.
Joe began his 8-day retreat with one goal, to console Jesus by trusting him. He decided that no matter what happened, he would strive to keep his peace and simply enjoy the time with his friend. Not surprisingly, the retreat went amazingly well. Even during the times of dryness, Joe wasn't disturbed because he thought to himself, "Perhaps Jesus is too tired to give me consolation. Maybe he just needs me to be here with him to give him consolation." Joe knew he was consoling the Lord simply by being there with him during the meditations, and that was enough for him. Thus, the whole retreat had a tone of peace and joy. Even if he didn't always feel it, Joe knew he was a delight to the Lord, and that knowledge was Joe's greatest delight during those blessed 8 days. There was, however, one part of that beautiful retreat that threatened to take away Joe's peace and joy. It happened when Joe suddenly realized that because he was becoming the Lord's friend more and more, it would be easier to hurt him. After all, didn't Jesus tell St. Faustina, "It's the distrust of his closest friends that hurts him most"? Joe felt that he might not always be able to trust, that he might sometimes fall into distrust, and he knew this would hurt the Lord. Because he didn't want to do this, he thought to himself, "Maybe it would be better if I keep a little distance from the Lord, so my lack of trust won't hurt him so much." Thus, just as happened during the last meditation of his 30-day retreat, Joe resisted entering into prayer. Once again, however, the Lord beautifully broke through. Joe believes he heard Jesus say to him, "Joseph, I'm going to give you 2 ways by which I assure you, you will always be a delight to my heart." Joy filled Joe's heart as he felt the Lord inviting him to do the following 2 things.
We're continuing on page 110 of the book, Consoling the Heart of Jesus. Point number 1, a special Marian consecration. First, Joe believes that the Lord was asking him to renew his consecration to Mary, though with a particular emphasis. Before Father Gately explains what that particular emphasis was, he says something first about Marian consecration for those of us who aren't familiar with it. Marian consecration. According to St. Louis de Montfort, total consecration to Jesus through Mary, that is Marian consecration, is, quote, the surest, easiest, shortest, and the most perfect means, unquote, to becoming a saint. No wonder it's part of this retreat. To get the full story on Marian consecration, consider reading 33 Days to Morning Glory. Because we don't have time to read another book besides this one during our retreat, we'll summarize Marian consecration now. To properly understand the essence of total consecration to Jesus through Mary, we'll first need to reflect on an important point. Jesus wants to include all of us in his work for salvation. In other words, he doesn't just redeem us and then expect us to kick back and relax. On the contrary, he puts us to work. He wants all of us to labor in his Father's vineyard in one way or another. Why he didn't just snap his fingers and so order things that everyone in the world would individually hear and understand the gospel by some private mystical revelation, we don't know. What we do know is that Jesus relies on others to spread his gospel and that he commissions his disciples to preach the gospel to all. See Matthew 28:19-20. He basically says to them and to us, let's get to work. Of course, that God wants to include us in his work of salvation is a great gift and glorious privilege. Truly, there's no more important work to be done.
While everyone is called to lend a hand in the great work of salvation, not everyone has the same role. For example, St. Paul says, there are a variety of services and there are varieties of working, 1 Corinthians 12, 5-6. He goes on to say that God has appointed to the work of salvation, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, verse 28. Whoever we are, God has appointed us to a special task in his great work. Among the various roles God has given to his children, there's one that's radically more important than all the others, the task he gave to Mary. We all know that God uniquely blessed Mary by choosing her to conceive, bear, and nurture Jesus Christ, our Savior. But do we also realize that her blessed work didn't end once Jesus left home and began his public ministry? After the 3 years of Mary's hidden life during Jesus' public ministry, Jesus brought her back into the picture of his work of salvation at the most crucial time, the hour of his passion. At that hour, we might say he fully revealed Mary's special task, the same task she had begun some 33 years before and that she still continues.
Jesus fully revealed Mary's special task shortly before his death. It happened when he looked down from the cross and said to Mary as she stood with the Apostle John, "Woman, behold your son." And to John, "Behold your mother." John 19:26-27. At that moment, Jesus gave us one of his greatest gifts, his mother as our mother. Of course, Mary isn't our natural mother. She's our spiritual mother. In other words, just as it was once her task some 2,000 years ago to give birth to Christ, to feed and nurture him, and to help him grow and develop into a man, so also, from the time she first said yes to being the mother of Jesus until the end of time, Mary's task is to give spiritual birth to Christians, to feed and nurture them with grace, and to help them grow to full stature in Christ. In short, Mary's job is to help us grow in holiness. It's her mission to form us into saints. Now, wait a minute, someone might say. Isn't the job of the Holy Spirit to make us holy? Indeed it is. The Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. It is he who transforms us at our baptism by being mere creatures into members of the body of Christ, and who helps us in our ongoing transformation into Christ through continued conversion. Great. So how does Mary come into all of this?
Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. At the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel declared to Mary that she would conceive and bear a son, and that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. See Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 35. When Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word," Luke chapter 1, verse 38, we can see most clearly that she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit, For at that moment, she gave the Holy Spirit permission to conceive Christ in her womb. Thus, at that moment, the already unfathomable deep bond between Mary and the Holy Spirit that had begun in time at the first moment of her Immaculate Conception was revealed as nothing less than a two-become-one marital union. See Genesis 2:24. As a result of that union, the Holy Spirit is pleased to work and act through his spouse, Mary, for the sanctification of the human race. Of course, he didn't have to be so united to Mary. It was a free choice, and that of the Father and the Son. And in that choice, he takes delight.
So, it is Mary's great, God-given task, in union with and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to form every human being into another Christ. That is to unite everyone to the body of Christ and form each person into a fully mature member of this body. Therefore, every human being is invited to rest in the womb of Mary and be transformed there, by the power of the Holy Spirit, more perfectly into Christ's own image. Yes, if we want to become more fully Christ, then we need to belong more fully to Mary. By going to her and remaining with her, we allow her to form us into other Christs, into great saints. But how do we do this? How do we belong more fully to Mary and allow her to fulfill her mission in us? Simple. We say yes, just like she did.
Mary has a deep respect for human freedom. She knows from her own experience in Nazareth what a free yes to God can do. See Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And so she doesn't pressure us into giving her our yes. Of course, she always cares for her children, but she won't force us to enter into a deeper relationship with her. She surely invites us to such a relationship and patiently waits for us to accept her invitation, but she remains respectful. Still, if we could see how much longing hides behind her silence, we'd say yes to her, if only to give her relief. In fact, saying yes to her gives her more than relief. It gives her joy, great joy. And the more fully we say yes to Mary, the more joyful she becomes. For our yes gives her the freedom to complete her work in us, the freedom to form us into great saints. This brings us to the essence of what Marian consecration is all about. Marian consecration basically means giving Mary our full permission, or as much permission as we can, to complete her motherly task in us, which is to form us into other Christs. Thus, by consecrating ourselves to Mary, each of us is saying to her,
Mary, I want to be a saint. I know that you also want me to be a saint, and that it's your God-given mission to form me into one. So, Mary, at this moment, on this day, I freely choose to give you my full permission to do your work in me with your spouse, the Holy Spirit. As soon as Mary hears us make such a decision, she flies to us and begins working a masterpiece of grace within our souls. She continues this work for us as long as we don't deliberately choose to change our choice from a yes to a no, as long as we don't take back our permission and leave her. That being said, it's always a good idea for us to strive to deepen our yes to Mary. For the deeper our yes becomes, the more marvelously she can perform her work of grace in our souls.
One of the greatest aspects of being consecrated to Mary is that she's such a gentle mother. She makes the lessons of the cross into something sweet, and she pours her motherly love and solace into our every wound. Going to her and giving her permission to do her job truly is the surest, easiest, shortest, and most perfect means to becoming a saint. What joy it is to be consecrated to Jesus through Mary.
And I'm continuing on page 114, Joe's special consecration to Mary. Having learned what Marian consecration is, we can now appreciate the special emphasis Joe gave to his consecration to Jesus through Mary during his retreat. Feeling moved by the Holy Spirit, he prayed the following, Today, I renew my total consecration to you, Mary, my mother. I give you my whole being so you may lead me to console your son with the perfect consolation you give to him. From this day forward, dear Jesus, whenever I embrace you, may it be with the arms of Mary. Whenever I kiss you, may it be with the lips of Mary. Whenever I sing to you, praise you, and thank you, may it be with the voice of Mary. Jesus, in short, every time I love you, may it be with the heart of Mary.
We see in this prayer that Joe gave Mary his yes with a particular emphasis. He gave her permission to be with him in a special way in his mission of consoling Jesus. Still, why would Jesus teach this consecration to Joe as a way of being assured that he would always be a consolation to his heart? More specifically, why would Jesus say that this consecration prevents Joe from wounding his heart with distress? Well, look at it this way. When we console Jesus with the heart of Mary, our acts of trust and love go to Jesus through the perfect faith and love of his mother. Thus, even if our acts of trust are not so perfect, even if they're tainted with some distrust, they don't hurt Jesus because Mary's faith makes up for what we lack. To help us understand better something of the mystery of how Mary can make up for our lack, it might be helpful to meditate on a passage from True Devotion to Mary in the context of explaining how Mary embellishes and adorns everything we give to Jesus.
De Montfort writes, "It is as if a peasant, wishing to gain the friendship and benevolence of the king, went to the queen and presented her with a fruit which was his whole revenue, in order that she might present it to the king. The queen, having accepted the poor little offering from the peasant, would place the fruit on a large and beautiful dish of gold, and so, on the peasant's behalf, would present it to the king. Then the fruit, however unworthy in itself to be the king's present, would become worthy of his majesty because of the dish of gold on which it rested and the person who presented it."
So when we at least try to console Jesus with our trust, even if our whole bodies shake with anxiety, when we at least try to be full of praise and thanks, even if we look gloomy and sad, and when we at least try to remain with our friend, even if our minds are distracted by a thousand different things, then we don't need to fear hurting our Lord. He sees that we want to console him, and because his mother makes up for what we lack, if we're consecrated to her, we always do console him as long as we keep trying. We ought to ponder this reality, for it's truly a great gift.
So that you don't pass by such a great gift as Marian consecration, Father Gately suggests setting aside some time during this retreat to make, in a formal way, the same consecration our friend Joe made. Perhaps you can prayerfully write it out on a piece of paper and sign it. Father Gately goes on to suggest that someday you read 33 Days to Morning Glory and make the 33-day preparation for Marian consecration. People usually make such a consecration on their favorite Marian feast day, and then they later testify that that day was for them the beginning of a new and marvelous way of life in Christ.
Right now, we're going to start the questions that are found in the workbook on page 63 from Session 7, entitled Obstacle 4, The Sensitivity of the Lord's Heart. And the top of the page reads, "The heart of Jesus is very sensitive, which makes for some good news and some bad news. The good news is that it's relatively easy to console the Lord's heart in the best way. It simply takes our trust. The bad news is that it's also relatively easy to break the Lord's heart in the worst way. It simply takes our lack of trust. For those whose principle and foundation is to console the heart of Jesus, this bad news is deeply troubling. But thank goodness Jesus taught our friend Joe that there are two ways by which we can be assured that we won't deeply wound the Lord by our lack of trust: a special Marian consecration and a spiritual communion of merciful love." So, this is the question. Number one, you are one of those souls closest to Jesus. Do you realize this? You are making a retreat. Not a lot of people make retreats these days. You're taking the time to pray and are striving to console the Lord's heart. You are surely one of those who are closest to him. You're also getting to know the Lord's merciful love more deeply. You're pondering the depths of his love. What do you want to say to him right now?
It's really amazing to hear that question, Mary Beth, because I would not consider us to be these great people or anybody that's super close to our Lord, but Father Gately has a super point here. Anyone who is doing this retreat, whether you're reading along and all in, or if you're kind of reading along and feeling like, oh, I'm not sure where I'm at, you truly have been chosen by God for this purpose and for this time. And so reflecting on that, the fact that we are chosen and that God is counting on us, I think it really, to me, highlights a great responsibility that we have. And I find it exciting. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do next as we give our little dinky baby chicken yes and let him come in and do more with that.
And why do we do that, Julie? We tend to think that we just aren't important or just not worthy. And we don't even do that with our own children, whether we have 1, 2, 10 kids. Each one of them, we just look at each child with whatever their smallness or their great assets. None of it matters to us as a parent. And why sometimes can we not get that through our own heads that God looks at each one of us with that kind of love? If we could just wrap our arms around that and realize we don't have to be these big people with all these great qualities. He just loves us exactly where we are.
I have not much of a problem understanding how much God loves me. I had experience in confession once that really touched me, and I really felt God's love for me. My problem is trying to figure out how can I love him just as much. This is what I love so much about this book, about consoling his heart, because I like the simple part of that. Just being present with him is enough. And if I could give another example, my little grandson was sitting with me in church, and he came and sat by me. Usually he goes by his mom or his grandmother, but he sat by me, and he sat right next to me, and he sat right in the crook of my right arm. And I put my arm around him, and he's busy, you know, chittering and making little movements and stuff like that, and I had my arm around him, and I was loving him like crazy. That's how God loves me. And if I was that little boy, I would like to figure out a way that I could return that kind of love, and that's what I'm trying to learn from this book.
It's a great gift to know God's love, pay attention to it, and respond in kind, mm-hmm. for sure. And I think there's a variety of distrust among people in general, whether God really could love me, whether he is able to help me through all my trials and tribulations, and then what you're sharing, Tom, you know, how can I love him back? So we certainly all have issues, all have things we're striving towards learning and improving on, and God's grace is so important in all that.
If you would like to learn more about Marian consecration and even start your own consecration, you can visit 33daystomorningglory.com. That's 33daystomorningglory.com. At that website, you will also find that we recorded Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory, in podcast, and you can listen to the podcast there. That's 33daystomorningglory.com.